There's a lot of awkward things in life, like the handshake fist bump dilemma, or waving back to someone who is waving to the dude behind you, or the you too situation. Enjoy your meal, sir.
Thanks, you too.
Actually?
Wait. No.
But on this long list of things that will keep you up at night, I feel like school dances lands itself in the top three, bro. Cause it's like, is it a party or is it a school event? Are we hitting a Dougie or are we just standing awkwardly in the corner? There's just too many questions, bro. Like another question, who the fuck hired this guy to be the DJ? Like, I don't know how much they pay this dude, but it can't be anything over 50 bucks. I remember at my first middle school dance, I seen the DJ walk in with all his gear and shit and I thought, damn, look at those big ass speakers. This dude knows what he's doing for sure. Hey, Stickman Middle, are we ready to turn up?
Yeah.
Let's go. One, two, three, let's go. So I walk over there to give bro some song requests that he so desperately needs, and as I walk up to this dude's expensive ass setup, I look down at his laptop and this motherfucker's on Spotify and he's moving around the volume slider like he's doing some shit. Like, bro, I could have done this shit for free. Nah, trust me, bro. I know what I'm doing, dude.
Want a break from the ads?
Now, to be honest, it was really the middle school dances that had me fucked up. Like, you took a bunch of self-conscious, prepubescent little kids and threw on some music and told them to dance with each other. Like, shit, of course they're gonna start hitting those Fortnite emotes, bro. That's all they know how to do. Like, these grade sixes are fresh out of elementary school. There's no way you'll catch one of these youngins asking a girl to dance. Like, they're still scared of catching cooties, bro. Or what about the grade sevens? These kids were straight menaces. Like, I remember at my grade seven dance, there was a duo. We'll call them Greg and Roderick. Greg and Roderick would run up on some unsuspecting students, and Greg would slide behind them on his hands and knees, and Roderick would casually strike up a conversation. And just when the poor guy was expecting it least, Roderick would shove his ass, causing the unsuspecting victim to trip and eat shit. And they went around to damn near everyone pulling this shit, until one time they messed with the wrong dude.
Hey bro, it's just a prank.
Now grade 8s. These boys are damn near in high school. They don't dance. It'll ruin their street cred, bruh. Instead, they prefer mosh pits. Rap, EDM, fucking smooth jazz. It doesn't matter what song. These grade 8s will be relentlessly jumping up and down for no apparent reason. And soon, these grade 8s will turn into freshmen. All that street cred they once had, gone. If you push one of these freshmen into the middle of a dance circle, he'll stress so hard, he'll start malfunctioning and hit those fucking Fortnite dances again. Now, grade 10s. Most of these grade 10s are a little self-conscious, but if you throw one of them into the dance circles...
Let's go, Michael! Whoa,
let's see
yeah,
it,
dude. Let's go!
Guys, what? I don't know how to dance.
Just fucking Michael, do it.
Let's go, Michael! Fuck.
Well, I guess I can bust out a few dance moves. All of a sudden, dude's got moves like Jagger. Come to find out, bro's been practicing for this moment in his room for months. So once these grade 10s soon become sophomores, those YouTube tutorials start paying off for real. And if they're lucky, they might even catch some cooties, bro. And these seniors just simply don't give a fuck.
Bro, watch this. I'm about to hit the worm.
What? You know how to hit the worm?
No.
Damn. And I'm not done flaming this fucking DJ. Like, this dude be leaving my balls more blue than Squidward. Pause.
Oh,
hell. Is that lo-fi? And then out of nowhere, really quick, the DJ will throw on some heat and it'll have everybody turning up. But just as fast as Pop Smoke got that shit jumping, Ed Sheeran shut that bitch right back down. Like, mixing drill with The Shape of You has to be some sort of felony, bro. Like, tell me this dude deserves to roam the streets freely after pulling some shit like that. In fact, funny story, I had seen the DJ after the dance in the parking lot one time and we walked up and we jumped the fuck out of him. Alright, but not all DJs were out here committing war crimes on my ears. Like, you know the DJ was onto some shit when he got the students and the teachers turning up. Like, you play the right song and these teachers will forget they're on chaperoning duty. Shit, even the principal will start wilding out. Once you got the right song playing, motherfuckers will get hype over anything. Like, remember how hype it was when someone would land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? Shit, remember how hype it was when someone didn't land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? These motherfuckers were excited as ever, like they didn't just witness a dude snap his neck. Poor guy's probably getting trampled down there. Rest in peace. Sacrificed his life for a few Snapchat memories. But you know that one song, that when the DJ throws that hoe on, everybody knows what to do. Motherfuckers will run in from the bathroom, teachers will hop in, the Redditors will hop off the bleachers, and the school dance will be looking like something straight out of High School Musical, bro. Speaking of High School Musical, back in the day, I knew a dude named Troy. I fucked with Troy, but let's just say, he had a little bit of a lean gut. He was built like T Grizzly. Nah, fuck that. He was built like DJ Khaled. And I remember this dude Troy was just coming off a school suspension, but for whatever reason at the dance, this motherfucker must have been looking for another one. Cause Troy came up to me talking about how he was gonna beat Jordan Johnson's ass at the dance tonight, and honestly, I ain't believing him. So once the dance came around, he was beefing JJ every chance that he got, until soon JJ wasn't gonna stand for it. Now a school dance is simply the best time for a school fight to take place. For the dude who wins. For the dude who loses, you literally have every single motherfucker in your school gathered in one place to get several different 4K angles of you getting pieced up. So Troy was really putting everything on the line here, because JJ was known for handing out whoopings like food stamps. But to be fair, Troy loved food. Regardless, JJ wasn't scared. In fact, he threw the first punch. Boom. But Troy ate that shit like a Wendy's 4-for-4 combo. And instantly, the entire school gathered in a circle. The circle was so big, there was no escaping. They were gonna have to fight to the death. But the DJ was so locked in that he was completely oblivious to what was happening. He was playing some happy-go-lucky-ass shit.
Oh, shit. Ooh. Damn.
Yeah.
Get his ass.
Let's go.
Beat his ass, JJ.
I'm Jordan Johnson. Now the moral of that story is don't get into a fight at the school dance. Unless you know you're gonna win. Now on another note, asking someone to dance is a very important topic when it comes to school dances. Now girls, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this one. I've never asked a dude to dance before. But boys, shit, I can't help you either. I'm like 0 for 15 with this shit. But I do know someone who can. I'm talking about the homie Bob. So Bob, how do you ask a girl to dance? Watch and learn. Is this motherfucker moonwalking right now? Oh shit. Oh, what the fuck?
We are currently facing a life-threatening epidemic that is threatening the lives of many teens around the world. Oh, what's that? Yeah. Okay. It has been brought to my attention that there's a new strain let loose that is infecting more teens than ever. The strain is propylene glycol formaldehyde. Street name, Guava Ice. So stay safe out there, and back to you, Linda.
What? Oh shit! Man, way back when, somewhere in Timbuktu, a Homo sapien found a plant by the name of tobacco, and for whatever reason, somewhere in this dude's caveman brain, he decided,
me, smoke, now.
And that he did. And as humans slowly evolved, smoking did too, and soon motherfuckers went from looking all old and wise, smoking these big old pipes, to soon smoking cigars on some mafia boss shit, which turned into cigarettes. Now back in the day, if you were stressing, Doc would prescribe you a pack of good old cigarettes. Sore throat?
Cigarettes.
Oh, you got a cough?
Here, smoke a cigarette.
But after a while, people's teeth started looking all British and shit, so they decided,
boy, I don't think these are healthy, innit?
So we decided we needed to make cigarettes better, and you know what makes everything better? The letter E. Your mail's taking too long to come in?
Email.
Wait, what's that? You wanna play sports, but your ass at every single sport?
Esports.
Oh, you got daddy issues?
E-girl.
So of course, when people realize cigarettes are killing them,
e-cigarettes.
Man, one thing leads to another and shit.
You got yourself a Vaporizer Gen Y GTX box mod with 3 USB charging ports, a speaker, and a 6-inch LED touchscreen that can play Flappy Bird.
Like, vaping is just getting a little too advanced, bro. Like, I remember one time I was chilling in the washroom with my homie Billy, and of course a motherfucker walks in with a vape. But this was no regular vape, no. This shit looked like a gadget straight out of fucking Star Wars.
Yo, you wanna hit?
A hit of your iPhone?
iPhone?
This is that eSmoke FTX 763 third series, my boy. Watch this.
Yo, did he just hotbox the whole bathroom in one hit?
yes the fuck I did.
And this shit's 100 Nick.
Holy shit, where did you find 100 Nick?
Yeah, I ended up mixing my 50 Nick guava juice with my 50 Nick blueberry ice, and it just kinda added up to 100.
Bro, I don't think that's how it works.
Shut up, my mom's calling me.
Yo, fuck you, mom.
And that was the moment I realized there really is levels to this shit.
Level 1. Level 1 is the type of dude who isn't addicted, but he'll occasionally take a hit of somebody's device.
But level 2, bro's borderline addicted, but he's still in the denial phase.
Bro, are you addicted to vaping?
Addicted? Nah, I don't even vape like that, bruh.
Shit. Do 5 jumping jacks right now.
Bro, what? That's easy.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh shit.
Level 3, the fiend. This motherfucker is strapped up with some nicotine at all times, and even when he has a vape in his hand, this dude will ask for yours.
And God forbid, if this fiend loses his vape,
this motherfucker will be stressing like he just lost his only child.
A fiend without a vape is the exact equivalent of one of these purple minions.
Dude will be itching for that shit, and Lord knows what that man will do for a fix.
Level 4, the fiend who sells vapes.
At this point, this dude's whole life revolves around vapes. In fact, I'm pretty sure they don't even breathe oxygen anymore.
Like, in order to breathe, they need to inhale some chemicals that I can't even spell.
Which, honestly, it doesn't even say that much. Like, I can't spell a lot of shit, but what I'm trying to say is
their bodies have just fully adapted in order to consume as much nicotine as possible.
They breathe that shit, they drink the vape juice, and when they're hungry, shit, they just munch on the vape itself.
And the worst part is, they can't even run out of vapes.
Like, shit, they are the plug.
This motherfucker's just the CEO of getting high on his own supply. Like, dude is his own number one customer.
Level 5.
This motherfucker, bruh, like, why do you need a LED touchscreen on your vape, bruh? Like, you already have a phone.
Wait. Did you just order that pizza from your vape?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Where'd you get this from?
And don't get me started on these flavors, bro. Like, tell me why these motherfuckers can make a vape juice and call that shit early riser.
And that shit literally tastes like a Wednesday at 6 a.m.
Like, what the fuck type of ingredients mix together to taste like a Wednesday at 6 a.m.?
But early riser isn't even the weirdest flavor on the market. Because if you're feeling the family dinner vibes, you can get a rotisserie chicken flavor.
Or if your breath is smelling nice and fresh, you could fuck that shit up quick with some garlic flavor juice.
And they even got bacon.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, that shit sounds fire as fuck.
And lastly, now I don't even know if I can say this on YouTube right now, but shit, you can even get yourself some Worcestershire.
But regardless, I think we all know the home of nicotine. The eternal hot box. The communal vape sesh.
It's the high school bathrooms, man.
You walk into one of these joints and there's at least 15 dudes hotboxing that shit at like 10 a.m.
You come in trying to take a piss and now you got a head rush. You walk over to the urinals, but it's so goddamn hotbox, you start pissing all over the walls.
But shit, you can't even piss on the walls in peace, man.
You got that one fiend coming over to you trying to suck your device dry, and dude's so down bad for that hit
that's not the only thing he'd suck dry.
And listen, you may be thinking, Chains, how do you know what you know about vaping?
And that's a great question.
Back in the day, I was a curious little George, man.
And back in grade 7, I was chilling at my friend Becky's house.
And when I walked into Becky's crib, I was nothing but an innocent, curious young man.
But little did I know, I would leave Becky's crib
far different than I entered. So you know, me, Bob, and Billy are posted in Becky's room, and I was sitting with Becky, so Becky asked me, have you ever hit a vape before? Hell no, I hadn't, but you know I had to play it cool around Becky, so I said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that shit all the time.
And so, of course, she passes me the vape. And honestly, I didn't think this far ahead, but I was in way too deep to come clean now. So I put that shit in my mouth, and I sucked the fuck out of it. Pause. And because this was the first time anything had made contact with my lungs beside oxygen, my lungs started malfunctioning. And I was coughing up a storm, and my cool guy cover was blown, but... I had to see it through.
Oh my god, are you okay?
This shit ain't nothing for a guy like me.
Guys, I think Change is dying.
And as I went on with my life, I would hit a device here and there, and eventually I even learned some tricks and shit. But one day, me and my homie had to run to catch a bus. And so we start running, but the homie doesn't even make it 100 meters, and he starts rolling on the floor, coughing up blood. And I was like, no, fuck that. And you know, I haven't touched a vape ever since, man. So stay safe and breathe air for real.
Aw, can I pet your dog?
Yeah, for sure.
Aw, what's your name, little guy?
His name's Ben.
Ben?
Aw, he's so cute. I just wanna punt that motherfucker.
Man, these intrusive thoughts I be having make me wonder whether I belong in maximum security prison or not. Like, I don't even mean to, but the thoughts that pop into my head are so menacing that I can't even say this shit on YouTube. Or this video will get taken down. Then I'll be canceled. Then my whole channel will get deleted. Then I'll be thrown into a psych ward, and then I'll be put on the fucking death penalty. Like, these thoughts that pop into my head are so alarming that they make me want to beat my own ass, bro.
Hey, man, why'd you just sock yourself in the face?
Oh, well, you see, I was about to push that unsuspecting toddler into the deep end for no apparent reason, so...
Yo, this guy's about to assault a minor.
Hey, you can't do that!
But it's not like every single intrusive thought I have is bad enough to get me convicted. Like, whenever I'm walking across a bridge, I have to use every cell in my body to fight the urge of just tossing my phone into the water. Like, there is literally no benefit from doing that shit, but there's just something inside of me that would feel so much satisfaction with just seeing my phone dissipate into the water. You know, maybe you get that urge because it would just be satisfying to do some shit that's out of the box. Some shit that nobody else would do, just to break the simulation a little bit. Cause I could be having the best day of my life. I could wake up, get the meanest pump in, hop in the shower, eat the most fire breakfast, and draw the most pristine stickman I've ever drawn. But as I'm casually walking beside a bunch of cars that are going 65 miles an hour, I'm still gonna have the urge to just throw myself in front of a car, bro, and it's not even on some emo shit. Like, I want to live, but I also want to dive into some oncoming traffic. But at least I'm not the only one who does this. Like, other people do this, right? Like, it's normal, right? But half the time, an intrusive thought will just be to do some goofy shit. Like, you're just forced to imagine the consequences of what it would look like to start throwing it back on a Tuesday at 2:41 p.m. And every once in a while, you'll just be chilling, and you'll witness a motherfucker fall to the intrusive urges. Shit, he let the intrusive thoughts win, man. Now, I don't even know if these count as intrusive thoughts or not, but as a dude, when I'm walking down the street, I'll just be going on with my day chilling. Then all of a sudden I see a car and I'm like,
if I don't make it to that tree before this car, I'm gonna die.
Aw, shit. Honestly, these kinds of intrusive thoughts are kind of motivating. Like, it's the same thing as having a hype man at the gym, except instead of that positive reinforcement, if you don't get those 3 extra reps, you're gonna die. It's like whenever I'm at the gym hitting those Bulgarian split squats, I'd be having mental wars with myself. Oof, that was a good set, man. I think we're done.
5 more reps or you're a bitch.
Damn, good shit. Alright, I think we could wrap it up.
10 more, pussy. Who the fuck's gonna carry the boats?
I told you we should've stopped, bro.
15 more or you like dick.
Now that I think about it, there's a good amount of people in prison right now who just succumb to their intrusive thoughts. Cause intrusive thoughts are just like that demon on your shoulder telling you to do the most devious shit possible. And I know there's a bunch of motherfuckers out there who just listen to that little guy. Hey, man, you see that lovely old lady right there? Yeah, you're gonna hit her with a mean right hook.
Hmm. Well, what's in it for me?
Nothing.
Shit, alright.
But to be honest, there is a handful of times where I've let the intrusive thoughts take over. One of the most memorable was way back when I was 5 years old. Me and my older brother were just dicking around, doing some 5-year-old shit. Keep in mind, this story takes place before your boy had even developed consciousness. So I was just a little munchkin, doing munchkin shit. Then suddenly, this urge came over me. It was unlike anything I'd ever felt before. It was dark. Irresistible. And for no apparent reason, I bit my brother's arm. And this was probably the most satisfied I'd ever felt in my entire life. But it was followed by shame and regret because I had no excuse. Ow, why the fuck did your dumbass just bite me, bro?
I felt like it.
And one of my lowest IQ moments of all time took place when I was in grade 8. It was goddamn sewing class, bro. And I remember I was having a particularly miserable day, so I was just going through the motions. We were all gathered around this big table with our sewing machines, some fabric, and some scissors. I remember I was working on some shitty little big chungus stuffy. But on this particular day, the sewing machine cable was looking mad thick and juicy. And like I said, I was having a bad day, which is exactly why the intrusive thoughts decided to catch me at my worst.
Do it.
What? To do what?
Oh, you know what to do. You're the one with the scissors in your hand, buddy.
How did these even get in my hand?
Now cut it. Cut it, Chains.
No, why the fuck would I?
The wire exploded with smoke and my heart dropped so fast, bro.
And everyone around the table just stares me down. And I'm thinking I can somehow cover this shit up like I didn't just take some fucking scissors and snip that shit like an umbilical cord. Maybe I could convince the teacher the cord snipped itself or some shit.
But as I look down at the scissors in my hand,
there's literally a chunk missing from the scissors. They look like they survived World War II. But barely. The scissors are all charred up and shit, and just like that, my plan of convincing her I didn't cut it went out the fucking window. You take one look at the cord, one look at the scissors, and one look at my dumbass face, and you could piece together exactly what happened. So my sewing teacher walks over looking pissed as hell, and she tells me to go sit in the corner. So I take my charred scissors and sit in the corner like I'm a 5-year-old, but to be fair, I made a 5-year-old decision. Like, I was in grade 8. I was 14, bruh.
What kind of 14-year-old cuts the cord to a sewing machine cause he felt like it?
Like, if my 14-year-old son did some shit like that, I would tell the kid I'm going to get some milk and I'm calling it quits.
I would have to have another kid and try it all over again, cause that kid is going nowhere in life, man.
So as I'm sitting in the corner realizing I'm a disappointment, it was one of those moments where you fucked up so bad you don't even feel any emotions. I was just sitting there straight faced like, well, fuck me. It was really one of those moments where you just want to stop existing. So after the class ended, the teacher came over to me and she said,
Chains, why the fuck did you cut the cord of the sewing machine?
No, Miss Sewingson, you gotta hear me out.
Okay, this better be good, Chains.
The cord was looking mad juicy and the scissors just teleported into my hands. I don't even know.
You did what?
Ah, Mom, it was the intrusive thoughts that they told me to do.
Oh, I'm about to intrude that ass.
The fuck?
Okay. Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Now, I don't know why, but there's just some things we all did as kids. And it's not like any of these things actually make sense, but we just did them. Like, did you even have a childhood if you never dug a hole to China?
Timmy, we're almost there.
Yay, just 2 more minutes. I mean, kids are just some dumbasses, bro. Like, who's gonna tell little Timmy he's not digging through the Earth's core with this little rinky-dink ass shovel? But to be completely honest, out of all these dumbasses, I was probably the stupidest kid known to man. Like, I remember when I was 5 and I was taking my annual shower, you know, and all of a sudden I had realized I was a fucking superhero. It was just the way the water was flowing out of my fingertips. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And I was fucking hyped. I mean, from this point on, my new name was Waterboy. Wow.
I was pretty fucking stupid, but not everything I did as a kid was completely impractical. For example, I know you used to run up the stairs on all fours, bro. Like, this was just the most efficient way to get from point A to point B. I used to feel like a fucking cheetah going up those stairs. In fact, going up the stairs in this manner was so efficient, I asked myself, well, why don't people go down the stairs like this? And shit, I figured out why. Or bro, on a hot summer day, I would wait for my mom to whip out the fan. And as soon as she turned that bitch on, me and my brother would turn into the Migos. We were dropping hit after hit. Like, we were spending so much time talking into this fan, our mom was a little concerned.
Raindrop.
Drip.
Drop top.
Smoking no cookie in a hot box.
Cookie.
Fucking on your bitch here. Dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope for in a crock pot.
Pot.
Hey guys, you've been there for 6 hours. I think it's time.
Ma, let him cook.
Bad and bougie. Cooking up dope with the Uzi.
Hey!
And speaking of cooking, when Mama Chains would whip up some good old Kraft dinner, I had no choice but to put a piece of KD on each prong of the fork. Like, that shit just simply tasted better, bro. Or whenever I was walking on a sidewalk, I would strategically plan out each footstep to make sure I was not stepping on a crack. Now, the funny thing about this one is... I still do that shit, and I know some of y'all are gonna think I'm weird for that, but riddle me this. Who's gonna be laughing when your mom's in the ER with a broken back, bitch? Now, I feel like at one point or another in your life, you just had to check if the fridge light stayed on when you close it. It's really just a part of growing up. Like, one day you'll go grab some milk for your Honey Nut Cheerios, and you'll be like, hey, wait a minute. Or what about when you were bored in the car and you start doing parkour with your fingers to the window? I used to hit some crazy combos and then I would go to finish it off with a backflip. Or have you ever fucked around in the living room and you broke a vase or some shit?
Whoops.
You know, you get a timeout or you receive a little whooping. Now, coming out fresh off that whooping, this shit could only go one of two ways. Either you ball your eyes out and play with this fucking thing for hours, or you would plan to run away, bro. That was it. That was your only options. And I had a few of those moments where I was ready to dip. I would pack an apple in my trusty Minecraft sword for the trials and tribulations to come. And then I would look my sweet mother in the eyes and realize... Shit, she's making mac and cheese tonight. I can't leave yet. And you have simply not lived if you never hit a DS under your pillow at night. Like for me, the Mario grind was 24/7. There was no sleeping. But I'm not gonna lie, I had some close calls trying to pull that shit off. Good night, Chains. Sweet dreams.
Good night, Ma. Love you.
Love you too. Fuck. And goddamn, bro, in grade 1, we would be doing anything but schoolwork. Like, we'd be poking holes in our erasers, injecting heroin with mechanical pencils, drawing this shit, and breaking this shit off mechanical pencils. I'm not gonna lie, you still gotta keep me away from those things, because if I see them... I will break them. And yo, I'm not gonna forget you motherfuckers who used to put glue on your hands and let it dry so you could peel it off. Like bro, you're weird for that shit, I'm not gonna lie. But I did used to love crafting the biggest marker sword you could and have a duel. And I don't know why, but I always used to carry around this tiny ass pencil. Like I never actually used it, but I always had it. And I used to flex it too, thinking it was cool or something. Yo, shorty. Take a look at my pencil.
Oh my god, why is it so tiny?
Tiny? It's not that small. And bro, tell me as a kid that you never had the random urge to just do this shit. And you just stay there. I don't know why. And I'm not gonna lie, I have to contribute my entire professional stickman career to drawing on the windows as a kid. Like, Mini Chains was whipping up some masterpieces. They were on some Picasso level shit, which is exactly why you see this high quality stickman content.
Alright, next up we got Billy presenting his baking soda volcano experiment.
Hey guys, how we doing? Alright, so you see if I put a solid amount of baking soda in here and then a little bit of vinegar here. it's supposed to explode.
Oh, no. Oh,
fuck.
Quickly, Organize a single file line in alphabetical order.
Hey, I'm first.
No, you're not, bro. I'm first.
Your last name is literally Johnson.
I have two last names.
Listen, bro, I'm not saying we shouldn't have school drills and all, but what I am saying is the school drills we do have are straight bullshit. Like, if there was a fire in my class, I'm jumping straight out the window, the fuck? There is no way you'll catch me waiting for Alexander and Arnold to debate who's first in line while I'm out here getting sauteed. And shit, fire drills aren't even close to being the worst of the drills, cause we got lockdown drills. Now, I don't know who planned out these drills, but goddamn, these drills are ass. Now, if you never had lockdown drills, they're pretty much a foolproof plan set in place to completely counter anyone pulling up to school with a strap. You see, the plan is pretty simple. You lock the door, gather all the students into the corner of the class, and you turn the lights out. And the reason we turn the lights out is so we can politely tell the intruder that nobody's home. Now, if every classroom followed these steps perfectly, we might even be able to convince the dude that it's a pro D-Day or something. Now listen, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, I really do, but there's one minor flaw in this plan. The shooter's in the class, bruh. You're out here telling the opposition your exact game plan, then you're surprised when bro pulls up to the hiding spot? Like shit, it's just easy pickings at this point. Now, earthquake drills, man. The game plan here is to essentially hop under your desk and start counting. Now, when I was in kindergarten, I thought this whole earthquake drill thing was a fun game we played to learn how to count. But 12 years later, we were still counting. Like, let's be honest. What the fuck is counting gonna do? Are you telling the earthquake how long it has to dismantle the school? Cause I'm pretty sure it doesn't give a shit how long it takes. Me personally, I feel like the best way to see if an earthquake is over is by observing whether or not the entire fucking building is shaking. But listen, I will say this. Out of all the drills, the earthquake drill is pretty valid. Like, whoever thought of this one was kinda cooking. I mean, these desks are pretty much made out of steel, bro. Like, out of all my years, I've never seen one break before. So it probably provides some solid protection. But shit, me personally, I'm still jumping through the fucking window, bruh. I don't care how many times I practice crouching under my desk. If I ever felt the slightest shake in the ground, I'm out of that hole. So if you carry the 674 to the power of 2 over to the 47, you will find—
Oh shit!
Well, why did Change just dive out of the window?
Shit, I don't know.
Now I'ma keep it a stack. I've never done a single tornado drill in my life. So after doing some quick research, it looks like you just, you do this. Now I don't know shit about tornadoes, but what I do know is that I'm not gonna be doing this shit. Like, I'm no scientist, but I don't think the doggy position is gonna stop the tornado from packing you up. So to be honest, once again, I'm jumping out the fucking window, bro. Like, that's just my default reaction. And if that tornado ends up putting me on a t-shirt, then so be it. At least the last position I was in before I died was not the face down, cheeks up pose. But bro, imagine being the kid who poorly timed his piss and now the fire alarm's going off midstream. And you don't even get to know if it's a drill or not. Then there's the whole do you wash your hands dilemma, right? Cause you don't wanna get trapped in the fire and fucking die, but on the other hand, you don't wanna just not wash your hands. Cause if it's a drill, then you're just left with dirty ass hands. And while you're trying to decide whether to wash your hands or not, the class is outside taking attendance like—
Rosalina.
Here.
Jared.
Here.
Chains.
Chains?
Oh fuck. Where did Chains go?
I don't know, bruh.
Shit.
Oh, no, I was just in the bathroom.
Woo, oh, you scared me there for a second. Wait, did you wash your hands?
No, I was in a little bit of a rush.
Get back in there and wash your hands, buddy.
Now the thing about school drills is they happen pretty often. I mean, every few weeks they throw in a fire drill here and a little earthquake drill there. So when the fire bell actually goes off, motherfuckers just assume it's a drill. They're out here horsing around, making jokes and shit, while the school's actually getting fucking cremated. But after almost all the drills are alphabetical, single file line goes out to the front of the school and on the field with every other class. And the amount of buffoonery that goes down on this field is insane.
insane, bro. I mean, everyone walks in with a single file line, but after 5 minutes, that shit looks like a Travis Scott concert, bro. Like, I remember one time my high school got a bomb threat called in, so every class assembled the good old alphabetical line, and we went out onto the field. And we were out there for a minute, bro. I remember looking around, and these motherfuckers were running the world's biggest game of Duck Duck Goose, like there wasn't a whole ass bomb threat called into our school. That same day, one kid brought a football to the field, and all of a sudden, motherfuckers are running a pickup game while we're waiting to see if our school is gonna explode or not. And of course, the teachers tried to stop it, but these kids just used it as a diversion play and got another touchdown. Alright, so now that we thoroughly dissected each and every school drill, it's only fair we hit them with a tier list. So let's see what we got here. We're starting with lockdown drills. What are we saying? Fucking F tier. Holy shit, they are ass. Alright, next up we got fire drills. Now these drills do get the job done, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm not fucking with this whole single file alphabetical bullshit. So I'm gonna have to give this John a C tier. Now tornado drills, you gotta go in the doggy position. Bro, I got no choice but to give this a D tier. And last but not least, my personal favorite, earthquake drills. They're still kinda ass. B tier. And bro, I know some of y'all may be thinking, you can't just talk shit about the school drills and not present any better solution. Well, lucky for you, I have devised the best and only way to fully counter any natural or artificial disasters. It's simple. For a guy like me who's 7 feet, 325 pounds, 0.5% body fat, and a 7 foot wingspan, I just simply remove myself from the situation. However, I do understand that I am built different. So for your average Joe, I have devised another plan. It's also simple. The moment some shit goes down, everyone runs at full speed out of the building. And of course, some would argue that not everyone is gonna be able to make it out of the building in time, and that some people are faster and stronger than others, and you know what that's called? Natural selection. You see, if I was principal, instead of running students through these impractical drills, I would be running students through a different kind of drills. I would have my students in peak physical condition. Instead of a fire bell, I would have a push-up bell. At any given time, if that shit goes off, you drop down and give me 50, or your ass is getting expelled. You see, this way, when there's a fire, everyone can simply remove themselves from the situation. Or in other circumstances, they can simply intervene. Getting baked is usually an exceptional experience that consists of eating food, laughing, questioning your entire existence, eating food, watching Netflix while eating more food. And you know, that's great and all, but every once in a while, that Zaza can take you to the deepest, darkest depths of the shadow realm. And trust me, that shit is not fun. So I wake up on a sunny Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. You know, a respectable sleep-in. I hop in the shower. It was a good shower. I check the Clash of Clans base. I didn't even get raided. I eat some scrambled eggs and toast. Shit was scrumptious. And all of these things led me to believe, damn, today's gonna be a good ass day. But little did I know, today would be the day I would look death in the eyes and fight for my life. So I finish my scrambled eggs and I pull up the boys group chat and I'm like, what's the move? And Bob's like, I don't know, let me check. So I'm like, okay, bet. There's no moves, bro. And because there was nothing to do, the boys and I would have no choice but to reside to the default move. Let's just smoke. Bet. Calm down. So the default move always takes place at the boys' home base. Bob's crib. Now Bob's crib was the spot to be baked for many valid reasons. First of all, bro's basement was simply comfy as fuck. Couches on lock, blankets always ready with infinite pillows. And Bob's dog Walter was the fucking goat. But most importantly, Bob's cupboard was always stacked. I mean, this cupboard has enough food to feed a village. This cupboard has more snacks than 7-Eleven. And this cupboard had enough calories to be in a Nikocado avocado video. And that shit was perfect. Because goddamn, when I get baked, I become a certified fat ass. So you know the drill.
We roll up and got a joint in rotation. And honestly, I don't know what got into me this night because I was absolutely reefing that hoe.
Yo, chill.
God damn. Fuck it. Let's roll another one. So we rolled up another J and I just simply could not be stopped. And I specifically remember asking, how high can I really get? And after about 30 minutes of me going bananas on these joints, I found the answer to my question. Pretty fucking high. I mean, I was beyond zooted. Like at that point, time was literally in slow motion. And it was one of those highs when your senses become extra sensitive. So I was just posted up in a blankie while munching on some pizza pops. And I was truly invested in those pizza pops. I mean, in that moment, I thought I was the pizza pop, bro. But once I finished the pizza pops, we all decided it would be a good idea to go for a walk. However, the moment I stood up, I started feeling peculiar. But regardless, we went outside and at this point, it was already dark. Because in the time we were smoking at Bob's crib, the sunny Saturday turned into a very cloudy, dark, and cold Saturday night. So Billy and Bob are walking towards this creepy looking forest and I'm like, I think I'm too high to go into this forest, bro. Nah, don't worry. I've been in this forest a million times. I know it like the back of my hand. Alright then. And as soon as we step into the forest, I start hearing shit, bro. Yo, did you hear that?
Hear what?
It sounds like someone's in the bushes.
Nah, you're just baked as shit.
So we continue walking for about 5 minutes and out of nowhere it starts pouring. And this was really the point where everything shifted because I was far too faded to be out in a dark, cold, rainy forest. So I'm like, alright, let's just go back to Bob's. Yeah, facts. I didn't know it was gonna be raining. But as we're walking back through the forest, I can undoubtedly hear something in the bushes. Okay, what the fuck was that?
Oh shit, run!
Aw, hell nah! Bob and Billy start hauling ass, and scared as hell, I slowly turn around to see a fucking demon coyote pack looking at me like I'm lunch, bro. And this had to be because of the second joint, but for a moment, I looked this coyote dead in the eyes, And I saw death. I saw death, bro. And in that moment, I gathered all the functioning brain cells I had left to just run. And I couldn't see where I was going. I was just hauling ass. And when I looked back, all I could see was the devious coyote eyeballs staring into my soul. And the next thing I knew, I stepped in a pothole and my trajectory completely changed from running away to eating shit, bro. And when I say falling felt like it was in slow motion, I mean I had to have been falling for 5 minutes. But once my face made contact with the ground, this is how I went out. I was about to get packed up by a pack of coyotes. As they approached, I was saying my goodbyes, but out of nowhere, I hear something in the distance. This motherfucker Bob drop kicks a coyote in the face. And it had to have been that Zaza that made these coyotes look so devious because after Bob socked that jit in the face, they weren't so scary. I mean, they all just ran away and dispersed. They had me like, yeah, and don't come back. Bitch. So we walk back to Billy's crib and I'm still tweaking off those joints. I'm like checking behind me, checking beside me, checking the sky to make sure no evil crows pick me up and kidnap me. But we get back to Bob's crib and I sit down on the couch. And just as I finally felt relieved, I get jump scared by Walter. Bro pretty much gave me a heart attack. I thought the coyotes had invaded Bob's crib to come and kill me. But it was just good old Walter coming to chill with the boys. So I got some more pizza pops and we lived happily ever after.
3 a.m. Once the clock strikes 3 a.m., I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait. Did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, ugh, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a two-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kinda like being high a little bit. Cause you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why?
Yeah, why? Because it was dead.
Oh.
Damn. Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago. Brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since. If you saw this video, you would know my mom has caught me lacking baked beyond belief before. And after that experience, I really changed my ways. I mean, I was grounded for over a year. So in that time, I decided to get my life together. I started working out, eating healthy, getting straight A's in school. Okay, that's cap, but straight B's in school. Okay, B's and C's, but that's besides the point. The point is, I got my ass beat for coming home zooted, and I never smoked again. Until I did. So, this incident takes place with the man, the myth, the legend, Bob. So me, Billy, and Bob are chilling at Bob's crib when Bob says the holy words. Are you guys trying to smoke? Yeah, bet. And keep in mind, the rest of my homies had been smoking regularly. But your boy was fresh out of the slammer. I mean, I was pretty much on probation at this point. And on top of that, I hadn't smoked for over a year, so my tolerance had gone to shit. So with all that being said, the smart decision was to simply not smoke. But shit, if you know me, I am not one for smart decisions. In fact, I was one for stupid decisions. So I was out here hitting this hole like Chris Breezy. I was puffing this joint like Wiz Khalifa.
when honestly, I should have been patient and just taken my time, because who knows what my tolerance was at this point. So when it starts hitting me, it hits hard. But the homies were closely monitoring me because they knew if I got caught high again, well on probation, I would be serving 20 to life. So they're out here checking my eyes, checking my heart rate, checking my pulse, and the diagnostic was, I think you're chilling, bro. But progressively, I was getting higher and higher. So as we're there watching the most goated cartoon, The Amazing World of Gumball, I start floating. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this before, but sometimes when you get mad high, you just forget that you even exist. And you use 107% of your brain power to just think. So I was out here floating away, thinking about some random bullshit. Yo, it's crazy that everyone in the world is either named Quandale or they're not. Wait, what if I'm in a simulation? No. What if I'm in an animation being drawn by some dude on his computer for a platform of entertainment? And a bunch of people know what I'm thinking right now. Hold up. Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? But I'm brought back to Earth by a text message. Oh man. Mom. Please come home for dinner at 6. Damn. I gotta be home for dinner at 6. Oh shit, what time is it? It's 5:30. Nah, we can't let your mom find out you're cooked. So Bob whips out his emergency hide how baked you are kit. Boom, hits me with the eye drops to make my eyes less red. Douses me in cologne to cover up the smell. And apparently eating oranges also helps slow down your high. So I leave Bob's crib, and as I'm walking home, I'm brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Either I play this off like a smooth criminal and nobody ever finds out, or I could get caught and I could get sentenced to 30 years. So as I walk up to my front door, my entire future is dependent on how I play this shit off. I take a deep breath and I ring the doorbell, and my brother opens the door. The door was unlocked, dumbass. Fuck, I'm off to a bad start. So I walk into the kitchen, casual as hell. Oh, Chains, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was yours? Yeah, good shit, we're doing good. Oh, it was good, thanks for asking. Wow, Mom, this mac and cheese looks succulent. Fuck, why did I say that? Who the fuck says succulent? Oh, why, thank you. I switched the recipe up a little bit. Just be casual, be casual. The mac and cheese, it's good. Thank you. What were you guys doing at Bob's? Fuck, what do I say? Twister. Oh, a twister? Yep, twister. Wasn't it just you, Bob, and Billy? Yep, just a good old game, a twister with the boys. Damn, y'all are gay as hell. Yep. not to being gay as hell, I just meant yup in general. Like, you know, like, yup. Chains, are you feeling okay? Oh fuck, she knows. What do I do? A little word of advice. Whenever you're in one of these situations, just cap and say you're tired. Like, it works for everything. Are you high? No, I'm just tired. Damn, bro. Are you depressed? No, I'm just tired.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
No, I'm just tired. So while I was backed into a corner, I was pretty much on trial facing life. I just used the good old, no, I'm just really tired. I couldn't get much sleep last night. I think I could even take a nap right now. But thank you very much for dinner. And call me Michael Jackson, cause your boy was a certified smooth criminal. And I moonwalked my high ass all the way into a nap. And goddamn, that nap hit.
April 20th, 4:20. The day when everyone puts their differences aside and they just hotbox the Earth's entire atmosphere. Man, what a time to be alive. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have gone to one of those 420 conventions before, but goddamn, these motherfuckers be getting higher than Buzz Lightyear, bro. Like, at this point, they aren't even baked. They're fucking deep
fried. They just be walking around hotboxing cities at a time. And anyone in a 500 foot radius is gonna start feeling the effects of that Mary Jane. Like, I remember my first time going to one of these things and I was still a minor with an O. However, I had done some pregame before the convention. So let me just put it like this. If I was a potato, I would have been a baked potato. So heading into the convention, I was already a little bit paranoid because as I looked around, all I could see was a bunch of hippie dudes with beards and shit. And at the time, I was just repping that peach fuzz. I was standing out like a sore thumb. So you can only imagine how hard I was shitting my pants when my high ass saw a cop walking in my direction. I instantly started brainstorming how I was gonna outmaneuver this cop so he doesn't send my ass to jail. So boom, busted a right, dropped the shoulder, hit a left, and I ran into this crowd of people. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, whenever something remotely scary happens while I'm zooted, I'm gonna be paranoid for the rest of my high. So in my high ass brain, I'm like a wanted criminal. I got 5 stars right now. So I'm out here constantly scanning the area for 12, right, but I start to make some notable observations. I realize half these motherfuckers are wearing sunglasses and it's not even sunny. Like, how the fuck did I miss the memo this bad? But luckily for me, there's hundreds of dudes selling overpriced random ass shit. So it really didn't take long for me to find a dude selling sunglasses. And even though it was 25 bones for these shitty ass sunglasses, I still cop them so I can hide my identity. And of course, the glasses have the devil's lettuce plastered all over them, but I'm El Chapo level wanted at this point. So I'm doing anything I can to hide my identity, including dropping my life savings on these dog shit glasses. So I'm out here pushing through these groups of people, but I'm keeping it low key. And as I'm scanning to the right of me and to the left of me, my dumbass pretty much walks right up to a cop. And the moment I realized that homie was right in front of me looking at me, I started to panic, bro. I felt like at this point, my best option was just to confess. Like, if I take the plea deal, I'll definitely get a lower sentence. But as I was stressing heavy, that adrenaline starts to kick in. And I know some of y'all can relate to this, but the scientific breakdown shows that when you're zooted and you get into a high stress scenario, the adrenaline gears up and starts beefing with the THC in your brain. Now, if you're lucky, the adrenaline will beat the THC's ass and will have you thinking properly in said stressful situation, which is exactly what happened to your boy. So as I transform from a baked potato into a less baked potato, this is where the table really started to turn. I looked at this cop in the eyes and this motherfucker was more baked than me. Like, shit, at this point, I'm about to put this dude on citizen's arrest.
Officer, are you baked right now?
No, there's a... Sorry, There seems to be a lot of cannabis in the air right now, and so it's like...
This poor officer probably had to pull an 8-hour shift in the world's biggest hotbox while trying to do his job. And needless to say, after realizing the officers were fated than a hoe, I had no problem walking around with my peach fuzz mustache smoking on that Mary Jane.
Oh, yo. Shit.
Ooh.
Damn. That's why you don't Damn. Mess with me. Yo, I'm dude. Jordan Johnson.
Mr. Johnson. Why did you beat Kyle's ass?
Mr. Principal, I never touched Kyle. In fact, I've never seen this kid in my entire life.
How do you presume he received a concussion, 2 broken ribs, a black eye, a broken nose, and a dislocated shoulder?
I mean, he must have fallen down the stairs or something.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, how do you explain this?
That's why you don't mess with me. I'm Jordan Johnson.
But I mean, you got the wrong Jordan Johnson.
Then what happened to your knuckles there?
Shit, these ain't even my knuckles. Listen, I am not one to condone violence, but I'm not gonna lie. School fights are a major part of the high school experience. I mean, there's something about a good old school brawl that just boosts students' morale. Like, there is nothing that gets you through the rest of the day like some kid getting his ass beat in front of the entire school. And truthfully, it's just a community building experience because it gives everyone something to talk about. Yo, did you see the fight? Yeah, bro. Kyle got his shit rocked. Wait, are you guys talking about the fight? Yeah, bro. Man, Kyle got fucked up, dude. Overall, in school fights, everyone wins. Like, the fighter gets some respect and the crowd gets some entertainment. It's a win-win. What about me?
But tell me why, when a fight breaks out, the entire school will be recording, but not one person can get a good video. It's like when a fight breaks out, every motherfucker recording starts having severe hand spasms. I mean, as the person recording the fight, you literally have one job. To record the fight. Damn, I just missed it. What happened? Oh, well, lucky for you, I recorded the entire thing from start to finish on my brand new Samsung. Check it out. Did anyone else record the fight? Oh shit, yeah, I did on my brand new iPhone 14 that actually records in 4K. Okay, bet. Ooh, damn.
Let's go, JJ.
That's why you don't mess with me. But bro, there's just a video of your face for 8 minutes straight. And watching some of these fights are funny as hell. Because some motherfuckers will come in swinging like KSI. Some motherfuckers are out here thinking they're Daniel LaRusso. And some motherfuckers should just not be fighting. Which is honestly the best part. Because where else could you catch a 6'5", 250 pound big body scrapping some 5'2 nerd? Like, the UFC would never let that shit slide. Plus, you get to watch it all for free. But me personally, I've never gotten into a school fight. But don't get me wrong, if someone wanted to catch these hands, I could hit them with the little knuckle sandwich, if you know what I mean. But truth be told, I could never lose a fight. Not because I know how to fight, but because for Bob, shit was on sight. And trust me, you don't fuck with Bob. Bob's got a better record than Floyd Mayweather. And I even heard one time he got into a little altercation with Mike Tyson. All I'ma say is, he dealt with him. But with that being said, we all know that one kid in school who was born to simply beat people's ass. Like, this dude's life purpose was to run people's fade. And of course, I had someone like this at my school. He was the type of dude who had nothing to lose, so he would instigate a fight wherever he could. We'll just call him Jordan. And honestly, he was holding a solid record. I mean, he was probably 12-0. But one day, Jordan picked on the wrong kid. Hey nerd, take off those stupid glasses. And Bob was a man of little words, so Jordan's buffoonery did not faze him. Hey nerd, I said take off those stupid glasses. Hey, stop ignoring me. And without saying a word, Bob just ended Jordan's whole career. And ever since that day, nobody messed with Bob.
That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Woo. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoked our grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating?
No,
but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block.
Trick or treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around,
Okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique, as well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah! 360,
We get back to Billy's crib. Holy shit, get in!
Lock it!
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem. Like,
oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
Well, I don't really want to talk about
what family stuff.
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of,
Mrs. Farrell, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson.
Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today, I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob. Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come? Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro. Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings? Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt. Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method? Secret method? Oh, you mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard? No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom.
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?
So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email, and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Perkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, Dear Mr. Perkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Perkinson's. And I already know this dude, Mr. Perkinson's, was reading that email like,
oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight.
Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences.
God damn.
She made up for every single beating I missed. There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
so what? What now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just set an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like, Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part. Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like my teeth.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time. I was scared of the hoes, bruh. And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two man, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like,
It is open.
Bro, only this tiny ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60 degree angle.
But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window.
But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room. And then I lean just a little too far and I'm headed face first onto Alice's hardwood floor.
And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window.
Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying?
But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hose. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro.
But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's for real.
Chains for real.
Nice to meet you, Mr. For Real. I'm Alice.
And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages.
And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, oh, we should. God. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time. So I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass.
In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit. Like, what else was there to do?
But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back.
And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us.
Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep.
And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door.
And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious.
And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, cause if it is,
we got bigger problems on our hands.
But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, cause I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro.
And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved.
But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know.
But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson.
And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, cause he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude?
So I hit him back with a, who dis?
And he's like, Ryan Donaldson.
Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh. But I have no clue who you are.
I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch.
And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro.
And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna hang out with a girl who has a boyfriend, turn off your snap maps, bruh.
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro.
You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like what do you want me to do? Think about my actions?
Hell nah.
Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read.
Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life.
Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro.
There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside,
or you just cry yourself to sleep,
because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside.
It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper,
and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it.
And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart
all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed, because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens, then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music, and then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open, and we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey! I just texted the family who lives here and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson.
I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name, period."
And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked.
And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
"You are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops."
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
"Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago."
"Okay, sir, did they break in?"
"No, no, my daughter gave them the key."
"Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub."
But like I said, I wasn't very smart and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first.
"Hey mom, so I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub."
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
"Damn, you look high as hell. A little bit too high. But bro, are you good?"
"Damn, I've been there, bro, but don't worry. I know just what you need."
Wait, what's that over there?
"Shit, are you still high? Damn, that usually works. You really gotta be high as shit, huh?"
Alright, listen. Just chill out, bro. I know you probably think you're ODing on Mary Jane, but trust me, you can't. In fact, scientists say you would need to smoke at least 20,000 joints in 15 minutes to OD. And trust me, once you hit the 16,000 joint mark, your lungs will be looking like dehydrated SpongeBob.
Oh shit, speaking of dehydrated SpongeBob, you're looking like dehydrated SpongeBob. So here, drink some water. You gotta quench that cotton mouth, and water's always a safe bet to flush out some of that unneeded THC. But you know what tastes better than water? Some goddamn motherfucking lemonade. So find the nearest lemonade stand and absolutely ravage that shit. Leave no lemons to spare because science says lemons contain limonene, which is a compound that can counteract the THC by calming your brain. Another solid way to calm down from a crazy high is sniffing some peppercorns.
Whoa, wrong line, bro. You're trying to get less high. You're supposed to sniff this one.
Okay, now how you feeling?
Damn, still too high?
God damn, how much did you smoke?
Shit. Oh, I know just what you need. A dab pen.
No, listen, this is no regular dab pen. This is a CBD pen. Now when you take a hit of this bad boy, the CBD compounds in your brain will sit in the chair the THC would have sat in, meaning the THC can no longer infiltrate your brain and convince you there's somebody in your walls. Plus, the CBD can help you chill out a little bit. So here, take a hit. Oh fuck, wrong one. My fault. Here's the CBD one.
Okay. Now before I keep telling you everything you should be doing, it's pretty important to hit you with a few common mistakes motherfuckers make when they get too high. Do not attempt any of the following.
Call an ambulance. Call your mom. Smoke more. Eat oranges. Watch horror movies. Cook with oil. Start a fire. Going into a public setting where speaking is necessary. Spend your life savings on food. Operate heavy machinery. Convince yourself you're the only real human person on the planet and everyone else is really just the AI programmed to pretend like humans and everyone you've ever known wasn't even really a human, including your mom, your brother, your home, or driving. Don't drive.
Now, generally, if you avoid all these dumbass ideas, you should be chilling. So now that we got that out of the way, the best way to ride out a high is to gather all the finest munchies in the game, which include, but are not limited to, ice cream, sweet heat Doritos, Cheetos, pizza, some Mickey D's, milkshakes, Reese's peanut butter cups, pizza rolls, chicken strips, any sort of fruit, and of course, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And once you've prepared a meal fit for champions, you can then throw on some absolutely amazing top tier YouTube content. Or if you're really trying to get invested, a cartoon. Now, choosing a cartoon is gonna feel like one of the most important decisions of your life, so I'm gonna let you know right now. Just choose anything, bro. Your high ass could sit and watch Cocomelon for hours, so just choose a safe bet, like the most goated show of all time. The Amazing World of Gumball. Now, once you've chosen your show, stop thinking so much and let the show do its thing. Because in just a few minutes, you're gonna be invested. And when I say invested, I mean you will invest your entire consciousness into the show. Like shit. You'll be in the show. You'll be out here posted up with Gumball and Darwin, and you can even chop it up with Gumball's fine ass mom. And before you know it, you're 25 episodes deep, and then you step back and realize everything's gonna be alright. Yo, when you think about it, every light switch is also a dark switch. Light switch, dark switch, light switch, dark switch. Okay, class, sound it out with me.
Ball. Ball.
When you really think about it, we learn to read, and then we read to learn.
Teacher, yeah, I think change is high.
What the fuck? This is kindergarten. Damn. Any staircase can be a staircase to heaven if you're not careful enough. Baby, I've spent the best 4 years of my life with you, and I can't imagine my life without you. You're a one in a million, so will you marry me? So one in a million, huh? That means there's 8,017 people just like you. How does that make you feel? Yo, if you cut your leg off, would it hurt? Of course it's gonna hurt, bro. What? Nah, think about it. Where would it hurt? Your leg. Oh, cause you cut your leg off. Yo, what happens if you push down the gas and the brakes at the same time? Shit, let's find out. Oh shit, it takes a screenshot. Damn, my eyes are dry as shit. Just close them for a minute. Damn, bro. You never actually close your eyes. You just look at the inside of your eyelids.
Damn. Can anyone answer 547 to the power of 3? Yes, Chains.
Yo, did you know every single odd number has an E in it?
Damn. Chains, are you high again? No.
Wait a minute, bruh. Since you were born deaf, what language do you think in? Oh shit, you right. Damn, I just realized squirrels' cheeks are also their nut sacks. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like your mom. What?
The way she had these nuts all up in her mouth.
Bro, if everyone in the world all blinked at the same time, nobody would know. Oh shit. That's facts.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah. Wait, what about just now? Yo, which of these buildings do you think has the most stories? Oh, it's gotta be that one, bro. That's massive. Nah, this one's even taller.
Oh, it's this one for sure.
No, it's this one.
No, that shit's library? Tiny.
Think about it.
Oh, the most stories.
How are you supposed to get clothes?
What are you talking about, bruh?
Okay, imagine you had no clothes, right? How are you supposed to get some clothes? You go to the store and purchase that shit.
Bro, they're not about to let you buy some clothes while your meat's hanging out.
Nah, you just cop some clothes real fast. It's simple.
Bruh, a young kid walks by and it's wraps.
So you guys both have the power to read minds?
Yep, yes, that's sir. Right.
Then if you both read each other's minds, whose mind are you reading?
Oh, I don't know. We could try.
All right, yeah, sure.
Nah, hey, that was not me. That was you for sure, dude.
Damn, bro. When you think about it, the hospital is the only building you leave
without entering. Damn. And people are having the worst day of their life, the best day of their life, the last day of their life, and the first day of their life, all in one building.
Damn.
Bro, I'm kind of scared down here.
What? Why?
Because I'm scared of sharks finna eat my ass. Well, when you think about it, there's more people eating sharks in the world than sharks eating people. Damn. That's actually really crazy to think about.
Fuck.
Yo, every single day, there's some random motherfucker out there who took the biggest shit for that day. Yeah, yeah, he's in this room. Bro, it's literally just you and me in the room.
Yo, this Taco Bell is bussing.
So he incorrectly assumed his position.
You spelled that incorrectly.
Spelled what incorrectly?
Incorrectly.
Yeah, yeah, but what's incorrect?
Incorrectly.
Wait, wait, what?
Wait, guys. When you really think about it, the only time incorrectly isn't spelled incorrectly is when it's spelled incorrectly.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up. You know, the number of people older than you never increases. It only gets smaller and smaller. Damn.
What?
It just got smaller.
Yo, pizza's here.
Shit, I got the munchies. I'm about to fuck this shit up. Wait, I ordered a mushroom pizza. Why'd they give us cheese? Hey, any pizza can be a mushroom pizza if you're patient enough. Damn, I guess you're right. At last. Damn, you know what I just realized?
What?
A pregnant woman swimming is pretty much a submarine.
Are you just always this high, bruh?
Yo, did you boys know your last name comes from what your ancestor used to do back in the day? Oh shit, mine's Baker.
Yo, mine's Carpenter.
Oh, mine's Smith for blacksmith.
Well, what's yours, Johnny?
It's Donald.
Well, wait a minute. Your last name isn't Donald. It's Dickinson.
Hey, no. Guys, chill. Hey, I can explain. Pause. I can explain.
Get the fuck out of bed, bitch.
Your alarm is really your theme song because it plays at the start of every episode.
Why the fuck are you in my house?
Yo, is Chain still mad over that chair?
Yeah, well, what does this dude have against chairs?
Why is it a chair?
Yo, why is there sidewalks in the movie Cars if there's no humans?
This dude won't shut up. Like, just watch the fucking movie, bruh.
Damn, think about this. When a child is an asshole, the child gets a whooping. But when the parents are an asshole, the child gets another whooping.
Shit, tell me about it, bruh.
Fuck.
Bro, you've checked the fridge 15 times already. No good food's finna magically appear.
Damn. Now that I think about it, we don't keep checking the fridge for new food, but rather we keep checking to see if our standards have dropped low enough to eat the shit that's already in the fridge.
So we got Mercury, Venus, and then here's Earth.
Yeah, Chains. What do you want?
If Earth is the third planet from the sun, does that make every country a third world country?
You're high again. Just get the fuck out of my class.
And look at these sheep.
Sheep.
You know how one of your teeth is called a tooth?
Yeah.
And one geese is called a goose.
Okay.
Then why isn't one sheep called a shoop?
All right, Chains, I can't keep doing
Shoopity-doo.
This. We have to break
sheep
up.
Shoop.
You know what I've been thinking?
Yeah, what's up?
Teenagers be whipping that shit like they're always running out of time. But old motherfuckers be driving like they got all the time in the world.
Like, look at this geezer. Poor guy's practically decaying behind the wheel. But he's taking his time like he's got any time to spare.
If I stab this cereal box, does that make me a serial killer?
That one was straight ass.
You gotta work on that
shit.
Right,
I'm gonna work
on
that one.
Yo, if you weigh 99 pounds and you eat a 1 pound burrito, does that make you 1% burrito?
Yo, that's crazy, because I literally just did that last night.
You guys wouldn't believe this, but your blood work came back and it says you're 1% burrito.
Yo.
Yo, picture this. Imagine if Ed Sheeran was working at a bread place, right? Would that make him the gingerbread man?
Your high as shit.
Alright,
bro, I'm a dip.
Nah, don't leave me alone in this forest, bro.
Hey, when you really think about it, you're not scared to be alone in this forest. You're scared you're not alone in the forest. You feel me?
Yo, that's actually so true.
Bro, you know what? Low key, if you're dead broke, robbing a bank isn't even a bad idea. Bro, there's no way some hobo's about to pull off a bank heist.
Nah, but just think about it. Whether you successfully rob the bank or not, either way, you get over 10 years of bills you don't gotta worry about.
Alright, fuck it. You got the strap?
Yup.
Yo, throw on your seatbelt really quick.
Nah.
What? Why not?
Well, you see, it increases my risk of dying from cancer.
What are you talking about, bro? That shit makes no sense.
Just let that sink in.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Yo, what's up?
But still, that shit makes no sense.
No, but actually think about it.
Oh.
Hey, bro, you wanna hit?
Nah, I don't smoke. I'm scared that I'll get all paranoid and shit.
Hey, man, if you're paranoid that you're gonna get paranoid, you're having the side effect without even smoking.
It's your fault.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'ma just get my backpack and shit. So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights, hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. But Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now, or
bro, I'm sure you didn't take anything, just politely ask for your bag back.
Alright, yeah.
Oh, hey, man. Can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'm gonna be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole, and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there, and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, there's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck. Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association. Which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy. Because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms. So they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena. There is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can. A female.
Chug, chug, chug.
Bro, is there crazy,
just
bro.
One more.
No way.
Yeah, let's go.
Are you good?
Ooh. Damn.
Blacking out drunk. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it's on the list of the top three worst things to experience, ranked just below giving birth. Now, if blacking out drunk is so bad, you may ask yourself, why do so many people do it? And truthfully, there are only a few reasons why one would inflict such a brutal pain on their liver. The first reason is impatience. Some motherfuckers just can't wait the 15 minutes it takes for alcohol to kick in, so they slam back one too many shots. And when that shit hits, that shit hits. Or secondly, peer pressure. I mean, to be fair, you will look cool as fuck for those 3 minutes where you're down in a bunch of vodka. Until you're lonely, gurping into the toilet, reconsidering your life decisions. Or, because it's yet another Valentine's Day, you will spend locked away in your room, drawing little stick men on your computer because you get absolutely zero bitches. Wow, so relatable, am I right? But if you've never been blackout drunk before, let me explain what it's like so you never have to experience it. Phase one, I like to call smooth sailing. This is where you got a few drinks in you, but you're still chilling, or as many like to say, you're tipsy. But say as you're observing your surroundings, you make an astounding discovery and find out the function has Hennessy. That shit will take you straight to phase two. Sauced. At this point, you're just drunk, bro. You're doing some fuck shit, you're saying some fuck shit, and Lord knows you're probably thinking some fuck shit. Some symptoms that you're in phase two will include sunglasses appearing on your face, the sudden urge to steal traffic cones, hitting the nene, staring in the bathroom mirror for 10 minutes and saying, "Damn, I'm drunk as fuck." Now, it's at this phase whether you decide you're gonna have a cool, fun night, or if you're gonna end up looking like Nate Robinson. Like, when you're offered more alcohol, don't drink that shit. I repeat, do not drink that shit. "Hey, do you want some of my drinks?" "Fuck no." Do you want a sip of my—" Aw, shit, you done fucked up. That's the type of shit that will have you in phase three, which I like to call, "Shit, I don't feel so good." As you can tell by the name, this is where shit starts to go downhill. You go from having a jolly old time to quivering on the floor with your liver fighting for its life. And this is the moment when your memory starts cutting out. You can remember some things here and there, but half of the night simply vanishes. And to be honest, that's gotta be for the better, bro, because I don't know if you wanna remember the pain of being in the downwards dog position while vomiting your guts out. It's not a fond memory. But to get to phase four, god damn, the function would have to have a lot of fucking Hennessy. In order to get this drunk, you gotta be going through some shit. You gotta be in Spain without the S. You gotta be in Champagne without the sham. You gotta be going through some cock and ball torture without the cock and ball part. Or you gotta make a pretty big miscalculation, bro. Either way, you ingested enough alcohol to kill several farm animals, and this is roughly what you're gonna remember. Nothing, bro. You're not gonna remember jack shit. Pretty much 30 seconds after laying eyes on that juicy bottle of Hennessy, you teleported into your bed with a crazy headache and no recollection of what the fuck just happened. Which takes you straight into stage 5. Grief. You go on your phone to ask the homies what happened last night, and the very first thing you see in the group chat leaves you frightened, appalled, in disbelief. Now, I don't know what gremlin takes over your body when you're blackout drunk, but there is no reason I should be throwing my shit back like Ice Spice well on video. Like, it's cool behind closed doors and all, but in public? The fuck? And I understand that consuming enough alcohol to make you forget the night completely has horrible effects on your body and kills an unholy amount of brain cells, but like, that's really not even the worst part, bro. Like, my brain can take one for the team, but my dignity? If I see one more video of me dropping that shit to the floor, I'm done, bro. That's it. You wake up the next morning not remembering a single thing, but as you see more videos, read more text messages, collect more data and evidence from that night, you begin to piece together the puzzle of a night that should not be remembered, leaving you in grief. But that's not all, no. Phase 6 is pain. Cause you don't even wanna feel the extent of a blackout hangover. That shit will have you feeling like you got hit by a bus. And shit,
you might have actually got hit by a bus. You wouldn't know. Shit will have you feeling like one of those musty old chihuahuas. Now, I don't know exactly what it feels like to be one of these things, but all I know is you don't want to be one of those musty old chihuahuas. I mean, it's not fun waking up all shaky with a throbbing headache and the urge to just stop existing. And every single time you blackout drunk, you tell yourself, I'm never getting this drunk ever again. Until the moment you realize the function has Hennessy. Your very first time buying from the plug. It's a special moment. It marks the beginning of a bond. A bond so strong and full of trust that it can only compare to that of your barber. Now, your first time copping from the plug can go many different ways, but my first time took place way, way, way back when I was 7. Okay, that's cap, but I was 13. Now, as some 13-year-olds, my homies and I were oblivious of how to get our hands on some sweet, sweet, juicy, succulent, magic broccoli. But you know what they say, if there's a will, there's a way. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. Where do I buy weed? And somehow, one of the first things that came up was some motherfucker on Reddit, like, just order a pizza? The pizza delivery guy stands a 78% chance of being baked. Just ask him where to find some gas. Simple as that, man. Yeah. Oh, bet. So we call up Little Caesars, like, hello, can I get a medium pepperoni pizza, please? Yeah. Yep. I bet. And about 45 minutes later, the doorbell rings. We open the door to see some 48-year-old man who's probably going through his second divorce. Should we ask him?
Yo, he does not know where to find that shit.
That'll be $13.69.
Here you go.
All right, have a good day.
But wait, do you happen to know where to find some of that good dope?
Good dope? Oh, I see what you're saying. If you wanted some ranch dip, just say that.
Nah. What he's trying to say here is, do you know where to find some of that good shit?
Oh, you want some good shit, huh? You sure won't find it at Little Caesars. This pizza is ass. Go to Pizza Hut or something.
Well, shit. What the fuck just happened? Okay, the guy on Reddit said there's a 78% chance. Maybe we just got unlucky with this one. And our dumbasses decide to order from Little Caesars again.
That'll be 13.
Okay, new plan. Yo, I think I know a guy. So Bob locates a local plug Snapchat. Billy adds him, and bro adds back. So now we've located the plug, but we had no clue on how to go about hitting this man up. Hello, Frederick Gordon Williams. I have reason to believe you are a plug, and will be able to sell us some devil's lettuce, as we are minors, currently 13 years old. Just give us your home address and we will skirt and pull up soon. Sincerely, Billy. Instantly blocked, bro. Looking back, we sent the most federal message possible. We hit this man with his government name and asked him for his home address. But we had no clue that was federal. Like, huh, that's peculiar. I wonder why he blocked us. So we did what any 7th grader would do. We searched that shit up on Google. How to hit up the plug. Be simple and forward. Use slang. Act cool. And after conducting a little more research, we were ready to try again. So I added him on my Snapchat.
Yo, Big G. Let me cop some of that gas real quick, Cronum.
Oh shit, he responded. How much you need? Shit, what do I say?
Search it up.
Three pre-rolls. Let me get 3 pre-rolls, fam. Alright, meet me at Stickman Park at 2:30. So now we'd set a place and a time to cop some grass. However, what Frederick Gordon Williams didn't know was that we were a whopping 13 years old. Keep in mind, we were still in middle school, but this dude was in grade 10. Shit, I'm pretty sure he was 20 years old, but was still in grade 10, which was pretty fucking scary for us 7th graders. So we threw on some drip we believed would make us look a little bit older, and we headed off to purchase some of Satan's spinach. We arrived at the park a little bit early, and as we waited, we discussed our plan. If he asks how old we are, we're 16. If he asks our grade, we're grade 10. If he asks our pronouns, we are he/... Bro, chill. He's not gonna interrogate us. It's a simple business transaction.
Oh shit, there he is. And as Frederick approached us, I could feel my blood pressure rising. Some would say I was shitting bricks.
Yo, you got the money?
How much is it?
How much you got?
Well, I brought a $50 bill.
Shit, it's usually 60, but I guess I can do it for 50.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Holy shit, this is a fucking steal.
Here you go, but remember, this is OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000. It got its name for a reason.
Don't worry, we do weed all the time.
Yeah, we're super teenager and shit. Yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Well, have a good day, sir.
And at last, 50 bones later, we had acquired some kush. Now, this wasn't our first time smoking, but our tolerance levels were low as fuck. So we pass around our first pre-roll, coughing up a fucking storm. And then we smoke up the next one and the next one until we're indubitably zooted.
God damn. Are y'all feeling it?
Shit. Yeah, I'm feeling it. Well, what about you, Chains? Shit, I think he's feeling it. And as we made our way back to Bob's crib, my frame rates were dropping, my eyes were drying up, and my brain cells were unresponsive. In other words, I was fucking fried. We get back to Bob's crib and all I can think about is food. The munchies had hijacked my brain, but luckily for me, Bob's mom had just went shopping. Unluckily for Bob's mom, she was gonna have to go shopping again. The boys and I threw on The Amazing World of Gumball on TV and we fucking demolished every single crumb from Bob's cabinet. Cause goddamn, Frederick Gordon Williams was right. They don't call it the OG Bubba Killer Death Paralyzing Kush 9000 for no reason. Man, summer is just a beautiful season. The sun is shining, the trees are green, and you can stay out with your homies all night. And best of all, you get to sleep in till that shit gets absolutely fucked by the first day of school. And waking up to that first alarm of the school year will have you discombobulated as hell, like
Chains, Square Doodle Matt Salami Mouse.
What?
You heard me, Square Doodle Matt Salami Mouse.
Wait, huh?
Really? Key Torse Claw Bozomorph.
Man, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah! What the fuck?
And even though getting out of bed early hurts your soul, it's absolutely necessary you spend at least 5 minutes staring at your wall, contemplating your entire life. And if you're a real G, you laid out your toughest fit the night before, so you're low-key hyped to rock that shit to school. So you throw on your new shoes and flick up for the first day of school. And then you walk over to the establishment where you will not only pursue your educational prowess, but you may also dabble in what some call stunting on these hoes. And man, I will say, linking up with your boys on the first day of school just hits different. Like, I be reuniting with the homies like I didn't just see them 12 hours ago. And we're all happy and shit until the school bell reminds me I just got my ass locked up for another 10 months. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't think I've ever made it to my first class of the year on time. Like, it'll be 9:15 and my dumbass will still be trying to figure out how to make it to room 347 by 8:55. And walking into your first class of the year late has to be one of the most uncomfortable situations you can experience, bro. Cause the teacher will be like, oh, and who are you? I'm Chains.
Well, Chains, why are you late?
Because the bell rang before I got here.
Alright, whatever. We waited for you before we started introductions.
Oh, no, you shouldn't have.
Well, you're welcome. We just wanted you to feel-
No, like, you really shouldn't have, like, I don't want to do this shit.
And tell me why all these teachers have been copy-pasting the same icebreaker game since preschool. Like that one where you have to start with an adjective that starts with the same letter as your name. Like, how do you have a group of legal adults in a circle, awkward as hell, talking about,
hi guys, I'm Super Sarah. Hey y'all, I'm Awesome Aiden. And I'm
Marvelous Marvin. Shit, if we don't stop doing these fucking icebreakers, I'm about to joyfully jump off a cliff. And after we're done grinding out icebreakers, these teachers have the audacity to show a whole 50 slide PowerPoint all about them. Like the fuck? This class is supposed to be the study of math, not the study of your daughter's soccer games, bro. And I'm not even gonna lie, my dumb ass will be out there taking notes, wondering how this 7-year-old's goals per game ratio is gonna help me on my trigonometry test. Then just as soon as you survive all that bullshit, you gotta go to the next class and do that shit again. And by the time you've learned half your teacher's favorite hiking spots and relationship statuses, you're relieved to hear the lunch bell. Only to find out the cafeteria's serving straight ass with a side of booty for lunch. And my standards aren't even high. Like during summer, I was on a seafood diet, as they would say. When I see food, I eat that shit. But when it comes to this cafeteria food, I could even bring myself to smell that abomination they're calling meatloaf. But even though the food was straight dookie, I won't lie, it's kinda nice being back at the lunch table freestyling with the homies. But of course, all good things must come to an end. So the bell rings and I go to depart ways with the homies.
Alright, peace out, man.
Yeah, see ya, bro.
Oh shit, are we going the same way?
Damn, yeah, I guess so.
Alright, peace out for real.
Yeah, see ya, bro.
Shit.
Alright, my class is right here, bro.
Me too.
Oh, shit.
Let's go.
Alright, class, I'm gonna be taking some attendance. Correct me if I get your name wrong. Jason.
Here.
Billy.
Yo.
Megan.
Present.
Chains.
Here.
Charlie.
That's me.
Bob.
No fucking
bro.
Way.
Is there any Bobs in the room?
Yo, do you hear that?
Is that intro music? Does anyone here know a Bob?
Oh,
man, nothing beats a class where you got all the boys sitting together. Like, from the jump, you already know you're all about to fail the fuck out of that shit, but it's gonna be fun as hell. Alright, so, everyone introduce yourselves and tell us what you did over summer break.
My name's Bartholomew. My name's Bartholomew, and I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I had a pretty rough summer. I mean, I crashed my car, my girlfriend broke up with me, someone robbed my house, my grandma got jumped the other day.
Oh, no, bro, not the grandma.
You three in the back, disrespectful.
And what's crazy about the first day of the school year is how these teachers will act all nice talking about,
it's so lovely to see all your beautiful faces, and it's also nice to see you, Aiden.
Wait, what the fuck?
We're gonna have an amazing fun year, and guess what? There's no homework today!
Knowing damn well they're about to make up for it with twice as much homework tomorrow. Like, they'll for real be handing out kindergarten-ass coloring sheets the first day, and then tomorrow you're getting your ass whooped by some calculus worksheets. And I didn't even talk about the motherfuckers you'll be seeing in the halls on the first day. Like, I don't know what these dudes be going through in those 2 months, but motherfuckers be going from Arthur Kennedy to AK real fast, bro.
Oh shit, is that you, Arthur?
Whoa, G, don't be dropping the government name like that.
Government name? But that's just your first name.
Hey, fam, it's AK.
Aye, man. What you been up to, bro?
Hey, fam, I'm trapping, trying to make it out of the mud, you know?
The mud? You live in a gated community.
Oh shit, that's the ops right there, fam. Get down.
The ops? That's just fucking Edward.
Or the way these new freshmen be walking like they're scared a senior's gonna slap the books out of their hands and take their Fortnite V-Bucks gift card.
Like, bro, you freshmen are worried about the wrong V-card.
Like, I don't know why, but the day these kids go from sophomore to seniors, they instantly decide to pull an EDP.
Like, bro, you're 18 and she's fresh out of middle school. That's a whole crime.
But that's not the only crime motherfuckers be committing on the first day of school. Some dudes be pulling up to school with the most atrocious fits known to man. Like, there's no fucking way you laid out this ramen noodle chicken soup ass fit the night before, slept on it, then woke up and thought,
oh yeah, the hoes are gonna love this one.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, you could never catch me wearing the types of fit these motherfuckers be wearing, bro. Like, that shit should have never made it out the closet. Like, I don't condone bullying,
But all I'ma say is, your actions have consequences, bro.
Speaking of consequences, every year it seems like the rules teachers tell you on the first day keep getting more strict. Like, you'll be walking into the first class of the year all jolly and shit. All of a sudden you're getting your shit smacked by the longest list of class rules you've ever seen.
Hey class, I'm super excited to have you. We're gonna have so much fun this year, but first, I'm gonna go over some of the class rules. Okay, so there will be no negativity, no phones, no food, no talking when I'm talking. Actually, no talking ever, no laughing, no smiling, breathe as quiet as possible, no washroom breaks, and last but not least, no having fun. So yeah guys, like I said, I think we're gonna have a lot of fun this year.
And just like that man, summer's over and you're back to school. It's possibly one of the worst times of the year. Like, do you really think it's a coincidence that when school starts up, the sun just starts hiding and the leaves start dying? You see what I'm implying. But I will say, one day you might just look back on these times as the good old days and you might just start crying.
Man, way back when, there was a time when you couldn't catch anyone under the age of 30 chiefing a vape. Until one day at Vaporizer Laboratories, they were cooking up and made a flavor that would change the game forever. Cotton candy. Now this revolutionary flavor forced these grown ass 30-year-old men to take a good look in the mirror and ask themselves,
damn, what do I look like as a grown ass man sucking on this goddamn cotton candy stick?
So they do what any responsible adult would do. They give it to their children. I mean shit, kids love cotton candy. All of a sudden business is booming for Vaporizer Laboratories, so they start cooking up even harder. Boom, Sour Patch Kids juice. Boom, applesauce juice. And boom, baby food juice. These babies will be sucking that shit like a soother. Kids' first words will be looking like,
yeah. Oh my god, honey, Jackson's gonna say his first words.
Yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yo, Pops, well, let me bum a hit off that 50 Nick Guava Ice, G.
Yo, just wait till they drop that breast milk flavor, bro. Shit, these newborn babies won't even know what hit them. They'll be returning customers for life, which will probably be like 12 years max. Now the reason I say all this is to let you know that vaping not only intruded my high school years, but also my years in middle school. I was first introduced to these bad boys at the ripe age of 13. And with a little bit of that good old peer pressure, I folded, bro. Like, what was I supposed to do, bro? Like not take the hit?
No, I
probably should not have taken a hit. But from that point on, I started doing a little dabbling, you know. I mean, as a 13-year-old, there's only one answer to someone asking,
yo, dude, you want to try a hit of this blueberry guacamole milkshake ice flavor, dude?
And that answer is, abso-fucking-lutely, dude. And I was never a fiend or anything, but I will say, I popped a few ghosts and blown a few O's back in my day, but it had never gotten to the point of me owning a vape. Until one day. This story takes place way, way, way back in grade 7. Me and the boys were posted in science class dissecting cow balls or some shit when Mr. Principal burst through the door like,
is Tessa here?
Yeah, she's right there.
And I look at Tessa and she just tosses her vape over to her homie Kate. And I seen that shit clear as day, but Mr. Principal's old ass must have forgot to wear his contacts or something. Cause he runs a quick pat down on Tessa looking for said vape, but sure enough, he doesn't find it.
Miss Rhodes told me you were vaping in her class. Is this true?
Psst, no, I would never.
Okay.
And then the bell rang and everybody knew what that meant. It was Nut Break. Now I don't know who the fuck decided to name our recess Nut Break, but I will say, most of the students understood that that shit was short for Nutrition Break. However, some kids took it a little too literally.
Weird ass school, man.
But this specific Nut Break, you best believe, me and the boys weren't busting nuts or eating nutritional foods because Billy had something else on his mind.
Yo, who's got you smiling like that?
Who, me?
Nah, it's nobody. It's nobody.
Yo, wait, you got a crush on Tessa?
What? Tessa? Me?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a crush on, yeah.
Oh, sick. Go talk to her, bro.
Talk to her.
No. No. No.
Bro, it's simple. She's new to the school. She's probably looking for some friends. So just walk over and introduce yourself.
You're right. I'm just going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just...
Did I just sell that shit?
Yup. You did.
Then the bell rings and we all go to PE class. Now in my middle school, your class was your class. You just have the same students and the same underqualified teacher teaching everything. Like, Lord knows Mr. Donaldson shouldn't be teaching PE, but shit. Here we are. And so while we're playing dodgeball, I'm trying to coach Billy on how to confess his love for Tessa, but I'ma keep it a buck. I was speaking straight out of my ass, bro. I don't know the first thing about confessing love. Listen, bro, I'm the expert when it comes to confessing love. All you gotta do is walk up with confidence, introduce yourself, and then ask her to be your girlfriend, bro. Okay, simple. Let's practice. Hey, Vanessa. My name's Billy and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Damn!
And after the proper training, by the time lunch came around, Billy was prepared to do what had to be done. Alright, listen, bro. Whatever happens out there, me and Bob got your back. And remember, the worst she can say is no, bro. Alright, I'm ready.
You got this.
Hey, Vanessa. I'm Billy. I seen you in science class today, and you were looking very pretty, and, Do you want to be my girlfriend?
Fuck no.
She laughed, bro. She laughed in Billy's face. And he walks back to us with tears in his eyes.
She laughed at me, bro.
Well, at least you know what they say.
What?
If you can make her laugh and giggle, you can make the cheeks clap and
jiggle. Not right now, bro.
You're right. Too soon. Needless to say, that brother Billy went home that night, listened to Juice WRLD, and cried himself to sleep. Shit, the next day, Billy didn't even say a word, but I could hear Lucid Dreams on full blast in those earbuds. Man, it's a tough sight to see. Next thing I know, Mr. Principal bursts in the class talking about,
Alright, Tessa, in my office, right now.
Now, I don't know why she was in trouble, but whatever she was accused of, she's guilty, bro. And she's also guilty on 1/3 degree count of breaking my man's heart. And as I'm busy praying on Tessa's downfall, I get a little tap on my shoulder like, psst, take this. Mr. Principal's looking for it and he's not gonna check you.
Whose is it?
It's Tessa's.
Don't worry, it's safe with me.
And it was safe with me. Cause that shit was now mine. The only way she could get it back is if she repaired my boy Billy's heart, and that just wasn't happening. And soon enough, Tessa comes back from Mr. Principal's office and she didn't say a word. We had nut break, nothing. We went to PE, nothing. And then we went to math class. And as I was chilling in math class, calculating the square root of pi and shit, I get a tap on my shoulder again. Psst, Tessa wants her vape back.
Vape? What vape?
The one I handed you this morning? You know, it was purple.
Oh, that vape. Oh.
Yeah, no, I threw that shit in the bushes. So she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, and she reports back to the person who gave her the vape, etc., etc., until Tessa finds out. And she looks pissed. So she whispers to her friend, who whispers to her friend, etc., etc.
What bush did you throw it in?
Oh, The one out back. And to put it in perspective, the bush out back was fucking massive. It was this huge conglomerate of straight prickle bushes, and so pretty much, her vape was gone, bro. And I went to sleep that night with a smile on my face, knowing I not only saved Tessa's lungs, but also Billy's heart. The next day, I went to class, sat down with the boys as always, but something was different. Tessa and her homies were nowhere to be seen. I shrug it off and continue to make some groundbreaking studies in science class until I hear Billy like,
bro, no fucking way.
So I turn around to not only see Tessa and her friends waist high in prickle bushes looking for this vape, but I also see Mr. Principal forcing them to do it. Now this was truly a beautiful sight to see revenge play out this perfectly. Like Billy was sitting at the window the entire class watching him do a whole search party for this vape that was posted in my pocket. And just when I thought Billy couldn't get happier, the next day Tessa and her friends had to present a PowerPoint to the entire school on why vaping is bad.
Vaping is bad because like
when the vape enters your lungs, it's not good for your lungs.
Man, karma is real, because not only did Tessa understand how it felt to be laughed at, but the next day, my friend came up to me like, can I use that vape for the day? And I wasn't using that shit, so I said,
yeah, sure.
And at the end of the day, you'll never guess what she told me, bro.
Yo, you still got the vape?
No, I threw it in the bush out back.
There's levels to friendships. I mean, you could have known your homie since you were 2 years old. You could have lived together. I mean, you could have survived the whole zombie apocalypse together. But shit, the truth is, you haven't truly experienced brotherhood until you and your homie have participated in a two-man mission. Like, just look at Kobe and Shaq, man. That type of chemistry can only be achieved by running a two-man. Shit, I bet these motherfuckers were running two-mans every night. And you already know Kobe was laying down that Mamba mentality while Shaq had his girl O'Neilin'. But for those of you who may be wondering, Chains, what the hell is a two-man mission? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's quite simple, really. It's when you're gonna link with a girl, but you bring your homie and she brings her homie. And what this does is it sets an environment when you and your homie can dribble, pass, alley-oop, and ideally dunk that shit. Now don't get me wrong, it's simple, but not easy. I remember my first two-man mission like it was yesterday. It took place when I was in grade 7. And it started when my friend Joe hit me up like,
yo bro, I'm going to this girl Sophie's house and her friend Ava's there. You trying to pull up?
And I was like, am I trying to pull up? Hell yeah, I'm trying to pull up. So we show up to her house and I'm new to this whole thing. So I'm sitting there like,
what now?
We could watch a scary movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
Calm down.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of scary movies.
Man, shut the fuck.
So we're watching a scary movie, and to be honest with you, it was simply the best scary movie I'd ever seen in my entire life. So I was really getting invested in this plot. And Ava's like, oh my god, I'm scared. And that shit went way over my head.
What? Why?
It's not even at the scary part yet. And then only 30 minutes into the movie, Joe and Sophie are like,
yo, we'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Do you guys want me to pause the movie?
Nah, it's all good, bro.
And you see, what Joe just did right there was a calculated move. In basketball terms, he just said an ISO. So now it was two 1v1s. And the situation was absolutely perfect, but the problem was, I actually liked the fucking movie. And that violates rule number 3 in section 7 of how to pull off a successful two-man. Never give a fuck about the movie. Cause the truth is, the movie length is like the shot clock. If you end up actually watching the entire movie, you failed the mission. But I had no clue, and to be honest, I didn't even know what a two-man was at the time. So I got some popcorn and I was just watching the movie. But when the climax of the movie was about to come around, I did something that violated every term and agreement of the two-man mission. I went over to Joe and Sophie like,
Hey guys, quick, you're gonna miss the best part.
Oh, fuck. And I missed the climax of the movie, but shit, I seen a climax. And needless to say, Joe never invited me to a two-man mission since. But you know I had to redeem myself, even if it was 3 years later when I was in grade 10. It was a Saturday night, and me and Bob were looking for something to do. And I'm gonna keep it a stack with you, bro. I had no motion. Like, my Snapchat was drier than a Popeye's biscuit, bro. But lucky for me, Bob had a roster. And I'm talking an all-star lineup of girls who just want Bob on their body. And I don't blame them. I mean, shit, I got Bob on my body right now. And you can too at chainsclub.shop. That's right, we got hoodies, shirts, beanies, socks, keychains, stickers, you name it. And starting at the price of $4.20, Bob can be all yours. Or if you want me, I wouldn't mind being on your keychain or something.
Treat me like my teeth.
So as I was saying, me and Bob were bored. So Bob hits up this girl named Avery like, what are you doing right now? And she's like, just chilling. Who you with? My friend Alice. Let's link. I'm with my homie. Okay, is he cute? Cute as hell. Okay, come over. And I'm excited as fuck, so we get Bob's sister to drive us to Avery's crib, and as we pull up to her house, I remember a crucial detail that I'd been forgetting this whole time.
I was scared of the hoes, bruh.
And as we walked up to her door, I was starting to get flashbacks of me and Joe's two men, where Joe tossed up an alley-oop for both of us, and I blocked his shot, metaphorically and literally. And as I'm psyching myself up, Bob calls Avery to tell her we're here, and she's like, so, my parents are asleep, so you're gonna have to come in through my window. Shit. So we walk around the side of the house to Avery's room, and lucky for us, there's this big-ass window, and I'm like, yo, can you open it so we can get in? And she's like, it is open. Bro, only this tiny-ass rectangle in the top left was open at a 60-degree angle. But that was our only way in, so I helped Bob up and through the window. But now I gotta get up there, and I'm bigger than Bob, so I put my head through, and I'm trying to slowly creep into the room, and then I lean just a little too far, and I'm headed face-first onto Alice's hardwood floor. And listen, Bob has come in clutch many times. He saved me from drowning, coyotes, getting in trouble, but out of all these things, I'm most grateful for Bob catching me as I fell through this fucking window. Because drowning and dying would have been pretty bad, like boo-hoo, rip chains, you know what I'm saying? But imagine falling through a window and eating shit face first in front of the hoes. Like, I would have preferred the drowning, bro. But after that close call, I was a little flabbergasted, you know what I'm saying? But Alice has the audacity to ask me this loaded-ass question, like, oh, hey, what's your name?
Me?
Yeah, you.
The name's For Real.
Chains For Real. Nice to meet you, Mr. For Real. I'm Alice. And so we all just start talking and shit, but I keep noticing Alice was getting a bunch of text messages. And I remember thinking it was probably her mom or something, so I shrugged that shit off, and I'm like, yo, we should watch a movie.
Yeah, we should. Yeah.
And I wasn't about to make the same mistake I made last time, so I found the most dog shit horror movie on the face of Netflix and threw that shit on. And man, that shit was ass. In fact, it was so ass that we just started cuddling and shit, like, what else was there to do? But now that we were close, I could feel the vibrations of Alice's phone getting a call, so she's like, one second, I'll be right back. And I wasn't trying to eavesdrop, but I could low-key hear what she was saying through the door.
I'm just at Avery's house. We're watching a movie. Oh my god, okay, that's fine. Okay.
But when she comes back, she puts a pillow between us. Like the same type of shit two dudes do to make sure they don't fuck in their sleep. And I'm trying to piece everything together, and as I'm coming to the conclusion that this girl has a boyfriend, I hear footsteps coming towards the door. And when the door opens, I'm fucking bamboozled to see a 60-year-old man who looks furious. And I'm just hoping this isn't Alice's boyfriend, because if it is, we got bigger problems on our hands. But as I seen the way this man looked at Bob, I realized he's Avery's dad. And Bob wasted no time jumping out that fucking window. But for me, let's just say that shit wasn't very elegant, because I got stuck for what felt like 5 minutes making eye contact with this grown-ass man.
Well, what are you trying to seduce, my dad or something? Like, get the fuck out.
And I'm not gonna lie, we ran, bro. And once we made it home, me and Bob were relieved. But when I go to check my phone, I got a little notification on Snapchat. And I'm expecting it to be Alice or maybe even Team Snapchat or something, I don't know. But I sure as hell wasn't expecting it to be a motherfucker named Ryan Donaldson. And Ryan must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because he's like, what the fuck did you do, dude? So I hit him back with a, who dis? And he's like, Ryan Donaldson. Yeah, no, I can see your username, bruh, but I have no clue who you are. I'm Alice's boyfriend, bitch. And Ryan got his shit hit with an instant block, bro. And so the moral of the story is, if you're gonna hang out with a girl who has a boyfriend, turn off your snap maps, bro. Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work, knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story. Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school, no. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all.
I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, looking like some distinguished young gentleman, I had realized, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro.
What? You mean like talk to them?
Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP.
It's Bob!
So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. and on this Thursday at 8 p.m, Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now, if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation.
Fuck.
Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. Alright, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance.
Fuck, that's not good.
Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you?
Yeah, same. We're good.
And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction.
Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool.
That was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Nah. Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, yep. We do.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah,
we just thought it looked suspicious.
Really?
Take them off.
Damn. All right. Yes, sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet.
No, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk. Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay, he's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little
bit.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we...